parallel to the ground, and you accelerate to 17,500 miles an hour to get to your orbital speed, you know, like for the space station. So there's a big difference between the acceleration. Well, the acceleration is still about the same. I think they, when you launch a shuttle or a Falcon rocket or a Soyuz spacecraft, you know, they get up to that 3.5 or so. They probably keep it around that. You just keep accelerating with the second stage or third stage engine until you get to your 17,000 miles an hour. But this thing, you got that one rocket, and they managed to keep it, you know, accelerating, but not too fast where it's going to be a problem for the passengers or the pilots. Back to you, Ken.
Okay, thank you, Paul. I was just curious, and I was watching it today. I had the thought, and I said, gee, I know a guy who might know something about that, and I'm going to be talking to him tonight. Okay, thank you for the information.
Yeah, that's a good question. When you watch the other launches go up, like a Dragon go up, they have a zero-G indicator, they call it. Well, all it is a stuffed animal. Usually one of the astronauts' kids or something, you know, has their favorite stuffed animal or whatever it might be. Might be in the movies or something. One day they used one of the ones, I think, from the show Frozen. And then one of the ones that they used for the zero-G indicator was actually an unmanned flight, but it was a Dragon flight that flew the International Space Station. It was a crew vehicle without the crew. A few years ago, before they wanted to dock with the space station and then come back down, and if that was okay, then they were going to put a real crew in this thing, which they eventually did three different times now with three different crews. But anyway, the zero-G indicator for this was called Earthy. And Earthy was this stuffed animal, and it looked like the Earth had, you know, arms and eyes sticking out. A real cool-looking animal. Anyway, they had they always had it tied to the string that sits on a chair. And, they always have live pictures of the inside of the rocket when they're going up. And here's Earthy sitting on the chair. Sure enough, when it hit the, you know, so now it's on the, you know, G's going up. So, again, the stuffed animal didn't move. It's just kind of like stuck to the chair. And then when it hit the zero G, it starts floating around the spacecraft, and they call that the zero G indicator. And even when the crews go up, they do that. You'll always see that. And somebody I know sent me an Earthy, so I guess it was a big thing for a while. So now I have one. Any other questions? WS2N. Story with the Ingenuity helicopter. I know I've talked about this countless times on the net. It's still flying. They were hoping to get five flights out of this thing. You know, that they really wanted to get that far, and maybe we will, maybe we won't. You know, the helicopter team, Ingenuity, did those five flights successfully, and each one got more and more daring. Well, they've kept going since. They did a sixth, a seventh, an eighth, and now just the other day, a couple of days ago, they did the ninth flight. And this one, they were shooting for distance. They want to go over this real rough area and land on a soft area beyond that. But to do that, they knew they were going to have to fly full speed for almost 3 minutes. I mean, the battery only lasts, maybe 3 minutes before the battery dies. They have these six. Flew at, you know, their top speed. I forgot how many meters a second, but probably, you know, equivalent of like 20 miles an hour. And this thing went from, you know, from where it took off, and then eventually landed and successfully flew for 3 minutes. It went to 2,300 feet. Anyway, it was getting close to a half a mile. In that one flight, they doubled the distance that they went in all the previous eight flights. You know, they'd fly this distance. They'd fly one direction, do a dog leg, and go, you know, left, and fly another 30 meters that way, and then eventually land. You know, but the combination of all those eight flights with this one flight alone, they doubled the distance that they flew. Incredible. So and it landed successfully. So I'm hoping for a 10th flight. anyway, any questions? This is WX2N. If not, we'll turn it back to Roy. I guess not. Okay. Before I go, we'll just announce that tomorrow night we have a Club InfoNet that's on at 8:30 on all of these repeats. It's not 8 o'clock, this net always starts at 8, but 8:30. It's usually followed by Swap and Shop, and it's followed by Newsline. So we'll be on that. We'll definitely be listening. Anybody that's listening here that is not a member of the club, you can and are allowed to check in with us, and they always encourage that. Back to you, Roy, AC2GS, WS2N.
AC2GS. Well, thank you very much, Paul. Paul, do you want to maybe drop the repeater for a little bit longer if in case Frank has something he wants to talk about? Because, I don't know, someone's been ker-chunking the repeater and blocking him from Echolink. So you want to give that a try?
Sounds like Roy is keying up, but not hearing anything just yet.
Do you hear me? Hello, Paul. Are you hearing me here? Because it seems like I'm putting out 150 watts. Yeah, hello. Testing 1, 2, 3.
But up for now, I'm gonna say 73. Go QRT. And I'll stand by and listen to see if Roy comes back on. Anyway, have a good night, everybody. WS2N clear.
Testing 1, 2, 3. This is AC2GS. Anyone hear me?
WB2BX. So, Paul, I tried to get in before.
Okay. Hi, Frank. I was just checking the chat room, seeing if Roy was on. Okay, hey, back to you, Frank.
Yeah, okay, I texted you on Echolink, but I realized I probably should have done that. Anyway, you know, what I was wondering about whether there's really anything technologically all that technologically innovative about what Branson's team is doing. I mean, first of all, it's a spectacular achievement regardless, but I heard some pundit, I think, deride it as a cable-controlled glider, not even fly-by-wire, which apparently is a state-of-the-art now. And they seem to be suggesting it's little more than a glider with a rocket engine attached. Still, it took 17 years of development that it worked, so I don't know if that's entirely fair. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. It's 17 years in development, I think they said. It started with Bert Rattan. Bert Rattan, you might remember the Voyager. The Voyager, not the spacecraft, the plane that flew around the world. by Scale Composites, and this guy Bert Rutan built it. I think his brother, they flew it to around the world without stopping for gas, you know. And that vehicle is now in the Smithsonian in Washington. I saw it. He would design these different crazy aircraft, and he designed Spaceship One, and he wanted to see if this thing could get all the way into space, and it did with one guy in it, Melvin. I forget his name, but Melvin, his last name. He was a pilot, and he took off. And went straight up, and they did the test in California with a Spaceship One, and it looked like this thing, but it's smaller. It dropped from a propeller plane, a propeller carrier plane. They called it White Knight, and that's White Knight One. The one that flies this one as a carrier plane is now White Knight Two, and then he named it Eve after his mother, Richard Branson. Anyway. The Scale Composites, before Richard Branson flew Spaceship One, over 50 miles, and then the goal was to do it twice. There was something called the Ansari Prize. Ansari is there was a woman that her last name is Ansari. She was one of these billionaires. She flew on to the International Space Station as a space tourist many years ago. Anyway, she had the Ansari Prize. You win, was it $10 million or something? If you could launch to the same spacecraft within, I think, a two-week period. And Bert Rutan did that with Spaceship One, successfully launched both those vehicles. And then Richard Branson came along right after that, and he bought right into us. He said, this is for me. And since then, he's been developing Spaceship Two. Spaceship Two came along, and unfortunately, they did one of the tests in 2014. It killed their, it crashed. It broke up in the air. The co-pilot did not. And so then, they went on to, after 2014, to improve on things, and they built this thing. Actually, they built one before this, and now the next iteration coming off the assembling line. They plan on building more of them. They call this one Unity, and so Unity is the one that went up today. It's quite an accomplishment. They will do science tests, and they have done science. NASA has sent stuff up in this thing previously. The science community likes to do suborbital tests with some stuff. Some stuff they just need a minute of gravity to prove something out, and to wait for a flight to go to the International Space Station, eventually have it come back down, and if they find out there's a suborbital flight going on, they can put it into a container. They do it. And they did that in this flight, too. There was some kind of test with that NASA wanted to do on some kind of, growing flowers or something. These flowers in zero-G, but they only needed it, for a short period of time. That was on this flight. So it's going to have benefits for the engineering science community, and of course it's really going to have benefits for space tourism. And is it a glider? Well, it's a rocket. It's a glider, and it's like a space shuttle. That thing's coming down, and they missed a runway. They can't power up the rocket to fly around again and come back down and land. Every shuttle that came down had, it was the same thing. They were not powered. Now safety, I guess kind of safety went out the window a little bit with this. There's no backup plan. Yeah, if they see the things are wrong on their way up on the carrier jet, but you know the carrier jet can bring them back and actually land back on the ground, no problem. They don't have to get rid of the weight. They've done that test many, many times. So I guess that's a way to abort the system, but there's no real abort system. Yeah, they have parachutes. I guess if the thing broke up in the atmosphere, I guess they could come down on a parachute. But there's no way out. With the other guy, Jeff Bezos, there is. When that thing takes off, look at the center part of that vehicle. When you're going to see the crew of four. By the way, they can carry a crew of six, but you're going to see a crew of four, and then in the center is this big hump, you know, and that's the back end of a solid, rocket motor. There's a rocket motor under that, and in case there's a problem when sitting on the, getting ready to take off, or halfway in flight, they have it's an escape motor that they could use. So that's the story on that. Frank, and I don't know, we'll see if Roy comes back.
Testing 1, 2, 3, do you hear me?
I know if I talked long enough, you would be back. Hi, Roy.
Hi, I think it was something strange like the radio stopped putting out a PL tone, because I have power and everything else seemed fine, so I thought it was either the repeater or the tone control, so I just reset the tone control here.
Okay, very good. I'm just finishing up with Frank. I'll turn it over to Frank. Let Frank turn it back over to you. I pretty much came to a grinding halt here a few minutes ago. Roy. Frank, WB2BXO, WS2X.
Yeah, I do remember Burt Rutan flying. I forget what he called it. I could kind of picture the thing around the world with, I think it was Gina Yeager. Kind of weird story. I do remember that. Anyway, the whole thing's pretty incredible. And of course, I guess what kind of everybody's watching is these crazy, I call them space cowboys in Boca Chica, trying to launch this super heavy rocket with 32 engines, supposedly in the next month or so, from a populated area. I'm still going to be rather surprised that they're actually allowed to do that. And I guess even more surprised that it works. Anyway, Roy, I guess back to you. 7-3, I'll be listening. WB2BXO.
Okay, very good, Frank. Once again, this is AC2GS, and I don't know exactly what happened with my little radio, but it decided not to put out a PL tone for a little while, but another problem fixed, so good for that. Thanks to everyone who participated. Certainly thanks to Paul WS2N for the SpaceNet report and for all that he does. Thanks to everyone who participated tonight. You guys make or break any kind of a net, tech nets especially. No one really wants to just sit there and listen to me. So I thank you all for your participation. As always, I want to remind people, if you want to reach me, the email address among many that I have is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, mailbag@ac2gs.com. The link page with a lot of interesting YouTubes and articles, and if you want to peruse them over the week and talk about them next Sunday, that's fine. The link page is roy.ac2gs.com. Of course, remind everyone that I have a little audio streaming service, that everything that goes on in W2VL pretty much get streamed on the internet, and you can listen to it by just typing into your browser technet.ac2gs.com. And, of course, I remind you of my KC2NJI's wonderful archive site that has booked 1 million visitors, amateurradio.tv. Please avail yourself of the archives of the Limark Technical Net. And as I always do, I remind you that Dick, K2RIW, would often end his technical nets with great advice of be kind to each other or some variation. That's good advice anytime. It's especially good advice now. The virus is still among us. Please get vaccinated if you can. Please urge your loved ones to get vaccinated. Even the variants appear to be blocked by the vaccinations. They're not blocked by people who walk around with flags that say, don't tread on me, and talk about their freedom. So please, be smart, be safe, be well, and come back next Sunday when we'll try and do this all over again. So I need you people. So please come back. This is AC2GS formally closing this episode of the Limark Technical Net, and I am officially clear. Until next time, guys, be well.